Well, he's back in the saddle. No stranger to what we do here on Overtime. Terrapin, Jet, Raider, Baller, Lamont Jordan. And good to have you back in the saddle, my friend. How's your offseason been?
What's going on, Doc? Man, offseason's been good. Had my first year coaching the Washington Prodigy, had an undefeated season. Unfortunately, we lost the championship by two. But it's been...
Wait, time out. You went in your rookie year as an owner, operator. Mm-hmm. You went undefeated and then lost by two in the championship game, and you just going to roll by that like... That's... I mean, okay. What do you attribute? It's not your first rodeo. I know you work with the Divas. What in the high school you've coached on several different platforms? How was this? How did it work? How did you gain the success that you gained coming out of the box?
Well, I think first and foremost, I was coaching a group of ladies that they are serious about the game of football. The commitment that they make, they welcome the challenge. Every level that I've coached, Doc, I've always taught NFL stuff. It didn't matter if I was coaching fifth graders or sixth graders, high school. I always taught the things that I learned in the NFL because I believe that that's how you're going to get the IQ. The ladies, they welcomed it. And I think the biggest thing is – I didn't get a lot of drama when it came to what I was trying to teach. I think this is the first place that welcomed what it was that I was trying to teach, that welcomed my coaching style, the owner, the GM, the coaches all the way across the board, and the players, they just worked their butt off to give me what I wanted as a head coach. And when it was all said and done in my first year, we made it all the way to the championship.
That's quite an accomplishment. I know I've enjoyed my work and just being up in the booth with Jack and covering the DC Divas, and they made their championship run another one into the final. I enjoyed the level because the level is football, and it's hardcore. I mean, there's some moments in there that you cringe. And I think it doesn't matter. And the same thing with the WNBA. And I'm watching this, and this, I enjoy it because the game is played hard. And I think that's the appreciation of it as we grow into it. Now to your Turtles. We go through this every year. Where we get ups and we get excited. We think something's going to happen, and then it doesn't. Or it doesn't to the level that we'd like to. Got a young prospect now under center. What was your takeaway from the Terrapins' efforts?
You know what, Doc? It started off rocky. I mean, I'm talking five penalties on the first drive on defense. We had an interception. Got called back because of a penalty. Offensively, I think we had, punts. But then the guys really just settled in. I think the one thing that stuck out to me, well, there's a number of things that stuck out to me, is first and foremost, the defense. Last year and a few years prior to this, it's been a bunch of arm tackling. There wasn't a bunch of arm tackling by the defense. The defense, whether it was the secondary or the linebackers or the D linemen, they were actually bodying people up. They weren't reaching. They were trying to put their shoulder pads and their face masks on you, wrap you up, and drive you to the ground, which is way different than what I've seen. The secondary, I think that they did a really good job of, although some completions were given up in the past, when guys were catching passes, they were wide open. I can't think of one pass that a guy caught the ball where he was wide open. Most, if not every pass that was completed by FAU, the defender was right there. And Doc, you and I both know football. That is significant because it eliminates the big play.
Yep.
And then the thing that stuck out the most to me is If it wasn't for NIL, I would say, oh my gosh, the Maryland Terrapins, after so many years, have finally found a quarterback that is going to be a starter here for 3 or 4 years. This kid, Malik Washington, Doc, he's special, man.
Yeah.
He is a straight up animal. Steve Suter and I were talking about it on the radio, and it's like, okay, well, who can you compare him to in the NFL? Suter said Jameis Winston, which I definitely get that. But to me, I think he's a combination of Jameis Winston and Matthew Stafford. And I say Matthew Stafford because he does a great job of throwing the ball from different angles.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a flat route, he's very accurate. And in the last few years, we've had wide receivers that they're open down the field, but we just outrun the quarterback's arm. Nobody's going to outrun this kid's arm. He has a cannon. He does a great job, Doc. As a true freshman, he manages the huddle well. When guys broke the huddle, you didn't see a bunch of scrambling. You didn't see a bunch of guys not knowing where they were going. I don't even think we had one delay of game penalty at all. And when you have a true freshman under the center, that is huge, Doc. And so you know, I know people say, hey, you were playing FAU. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We have a bunch of new players on this football team, but the most important position that we've lacked for years, Malik Washington is definitely the quarterback of the future for the Terps.
Well, the Commanders have shown when you hit it right at that spot, everything else is free flow. And then you got to protect him. And that's the thing that I was somewhat impressed with, but my deal, and we've over the years we've discussed this in volume, it's the mental mistakes, it's the lack of discipline to me that has infuriated me. Now the coaches don't play, but somebody's got to convince the players the importance of self-inflicted wounds. How far are we away from that breakthrough?
I don't know, because the penalties were still a problem. When I look at this game, there were three areas that are definitely areas of concern for me. One, the penalties, which, hey, I get it. It's the first game of the season. You have a bunch of new players. And I got to give my – listen, Doc, FAU, I have never seen an offense that runs a play and gets up to the ball, gets up to the line of scrimmage and snaps the ball as fast as FAU. I'm talking, it seemed like they were running the play, getting back to the line of scrimmage, and then 5 seconds later, the ball is being snapped. That's how fast.
Tempo. They defined what tempo is.
Yes, their tempo was fast, but I think the guys really settled in. Another name that everybody's going to have to listen out for, and I've been saying this for years because I had the opportunity to coach this guy and watch him grow, Daniel Wingate, our middle linebacker, had 10 tackles.
Animal.
9 of those were solos. And interception. He is just, he's a baller. And he's a kid that when you think about leadership in the locker room, Daniel Wingate is just, he's just one of those guys who's a leader. I get to feel that this team is just different. You know, you heard Locks talk about, I believe he said that he lost the locker room last year. I feel like that these guys just standing on the sideline, watching how they play, they love playing together. The fact that we have a quarterback in Malik Washington, we just have to make sure that we eliminate the penalties. Our kickoff team, if we don't get that situated, then I think that Brian Mitchell will love watching Maryland football games because there are going to be some kickoff returns if we don't get that situated. And I'm still waiting for us to show some semblance of a run game.
Wow. That's it. Maryland without a substantial run game. That's like, what? Yeah, but the quarterback will help that. You know that. The better quarterback you play with, the more room you've had between the tackles because they've got to focus on someone other than you. As a primary back, I want as much excitement around me as possible. So they just don't zero in on me. Yeah, 1-0 is good, man. 1-0 is where you want to be and then how you get there. So you, and for you, as critical as you can be, that's amazing if you go thumbs up. That's why I couldn't wait to get you on today because you call it real. It's not fake. Even though you care, you love it, you got all that, you bleed it, but you don't negotiate with what your eyes don't lie. And that's the beauty of talking Terrapin football with you. How about from an injury standpoint? I was running our way around the dial. I didn't think there was any bad news yesterday, was it?
We did have two guys go down later in the game. One of our backup quarterbacks, Martin, who was actually a transfer from UCLA, he went down with an injury, and we had another one of our linemen. He went down. I was standing there. I saw his injury. I'm hoping that that's just a dislocated ankle. But for the most part, the team just made it through clean. I mean, I was happy to see what I saw standing on that sideline, Doc, because I saw the fact that our defense, these guys weren't trying to arm tackle, and they're ball hawks. I got to give some credit to Azar, the defensive backs coach. I believe we had six interceptions, two interceptions that were called back, and at least there were four other opportunities that we had to get interceptions. And so, again, yes, it is against FAU, but there have been too many times that we look at this first game of the season where, you know, we're playing against an opponent that we should blow out, and the game is just close all the way through, and then you're kind of scratching your head, wondering what the season's going to be like. This is just one of those situations where I'm impressed with what I saw from the second quarter on. And now it's just about how much better does this team get from week one to week two. And when you talk about the quarterback play, having a true freshman come in and play as well as he played, I have to give credit to Coach Locks for the move that he made. And I absolutely love Pep Hamilton as the offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, Pep.
When you have a true freshman at quarterback, what better person to bring in than a guy who was with Andrew Luck as a rookie, a guy who was with Justin Herbert as a rookie? He has experience at coaching young players at the next level. And I think that it really shows. And he did a great job of calling a friendly game. For the last few years, Doc, Maryland's offense has been all about the explosive plays. And the problem with that is that you go three and out, you put your defense back on the field. But what Pep has done as a play caller in this first game, and Malik Washington, I mean, there were multiple plays, Doc, where he was checking the field, first read not there, second read not there. He's getting up in the pocket, keeping his eyes down the field, and then hitting the ball down the field. This offense has shown that it has the ability to strategically and methodically move the ball down the field. And so I'm really excited to see how much better the Terps get from last night to playing next week on Friday night.
Yeah, I felt a little vibe from the crowd. To was I off base? It seemed like that's always been an issue, making sure that the numbers are right. It's an enthusiastic crowd.
I tell you what, I shout out to the student section. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Suter and I were up in the booth before the game started, we was like, oh man, it looks kind of light. But when you look over there at that M, you couldn't see the M. The students were there early, and then slowly but surely, the crowd started moving in. And like I said, the first quarter kind of got off to a rocky start, but once the guys settled in, the crowd was loud. They were into it. It was a beautiful day of football. And, hey, anytime you can come away with a win and you can walk out of the stadium excited to see what the team is going to do next game, that's always a plus. So I just think that yesterday was a success. We come off of a short week, and next week we play a Northern Illinois team that has had some upsets, at least going back to last year. They have beaten some really formidable opponents. So this isn't going to be a walk in the park next week, but I really am excited to see how much better these guys get from week one to week two.
Can't wait, my friend. So have a good one, and I think I'll be able to see you pretty soon, like tonight.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
So I look forward to that.
All right, Doc.
All right, you can show me the ropes. All right, good deal. Lamont Jordan, all-time leading rusher at the University of Maryland. That's good. Glad we got it. That is not a sad day one. It's something you can build on. Pep Hamilton having Pep back. It's good. Man, we need a good storyline. Terps going out getting the job done. That'd be good. I like it. Good to have Lamont back on.
He's always great, man.
Yeah,
I love him.
Is. But, I mean, being undefeated, man.
He didn't say his thing today where he was always like, violent smash mouth football,
you know? Yeah, I know. Remind you of Big L and what he says. No, but you could hear it in his voice. When you're on that sideline, it's got to have some stamina because you're on your feet. But, man, there's nothing like the game, having a game that close to you is it's exhilarating. It really is, especially when things are going well. But he knew he could disguise and really explain to us about tackling and the intensity, crowd, the whole thing. So that was good. Good. Lamont, I think about Coach Thompson every time we have Lamont on because he was John's rookie.
Oh, all right.
And we had the park covering camp, and John was unmerciful with him. John was kidding, but Lamont didn't know it. So you know what I mean? You know, Randy, man, it was so much fun. Hey, boy, definitely Mr. Big Fella. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Terp Nation, stand up. If you agree with Lamont, we're still on the verge of this college football explosion that was yesterday and will continue today. Hokie Nation getting ready. 3 p.m. kick, and we got it on and popping right here on Overtime. Sitting here thinking about storylines. College football. You had the big one, King Kong Godzilla. Texas and the Ohio State. If you want to say upsets, was it an upset? If Florida State beats Alabama, is that really an upset?
Well, Florida State's not ranked, so I think it is.
But are we basing that on the past of Alabama or what we saw last year?
I mean, they're still a top team, at least supposed to be a top team right now. We'll see in, you know, 6 weeks or so if they're still.
Yeah, this thing shapes up, man. And usually, you know, one loss and you were pretty much out of it. But now.
Well, back before they even had the playoff, I mean, you got a perfect season and still not make the championship game, you know?
Yeah, I'm interested in what Rich Rod is back, West Virginia.
Yeah.
The ears. It's one of the, it's an awesome home field environment. You know, having done games up there, I did Virginia Tech and Pitt. I mean, Virginia Tech and West Virginia. Unreal, the atmosphere. I mean, it's just, because to me, that's the beauty of college, is the atmosphere. Everybody's got their own signature thing going for them.
Sure.
But that, to me, is what separates it from the NFL. What makes it so unique. And it's romantic in the fact that if you get a place like Happy Valley, I mean, Penn State, they're just like three or four big games that they just don't win.
Yeah.
That if they win them, look out. And that's where we are right now. It's really even though it just started, it's almost like I can see the ending. And I can go because everything in the middle up until these big games, slobber knocker games, is just, eh. And then I want to know what my guy Googled me at Indiana. How does he follow up? Now you ain't sneaking up on nobody. It's really a lot like the Commanders. In that when you come out of nowhere and you bust people down, you start now, everybody, now you're not going to sneak up on anybody.
That's the Commanders this year, too.
Now, they plan on you. That's what I'm saying. Yep. They're coming at you.
Last year, everybody was like, they'll be like a 3-5-win team. And now they're all like, wow, Jaden Daniels is really good. Now they know.
Different attitude.
Yep.
How you got to carry yourself because people are waiting on you now. You're not sneaking up on anybody.
Yep.
They're waking up expecting you to be tough, a tough out. And that will be determined, though, by how you protect your weaknesses. And then what are the weaknesses? They got to stop the run. They got to be able to set an edge. On teams, we got to generate more big plays. We got the best punter on the planet. But we got to get back. We used to have the best place kicker, punter, and return man.
Yeah.
We've had it all. And guys who cover kicks, all of it matters because your team is shaping his personality again, and you need field position.
Yeah, all I want to see turnovers this year. I want to see more picks and more fumble recoveries. Like, I want to see those defensive turnovers, man. That's something really want to see an improvement on.
Give him another half a dozen or a dozen possessions throughout a season. That's powerful.
Yeah.
And then the thing that we don't
and
know.
Field position. That's why I was like, you're talking field position.
It's a different thing.
Yeah.
It's this game. Sometimes we just break it down and we say, hey, man, it's just football. It's a lot of strategy. And what you do on first down affects second and third.
Oh, yeah.
And we got to try to be better and not give away things and not turn it over, not help people beat you. And then how you conduct yourself on the road. That was the thing that was most impressive to me about last year's group.
Yeah.
You expect them to have a boost at home. That's expected.
Oh, yeah.
But when you get roadkill, when you can go out, and one of those things, despite the split in the fan base, they still travel well.
Oh, yeah.
They have a presence on the road.
They went into Detroit and won that playoff game there against a team that they had Super Bowl aspirations.
Oh, no question.
That fan base was...
It's stupid.
Incredible. Yeah, I think they said it was like the highest tickets for like a non-Super Bowl playoff game ever, right? Like,
yet, our people, the W travels again. This is a different crowd. It's got to be rebuilt. I just want these young kids here to have a taste of what it was.
Oh, yeah.
When the fan base was united.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
It's a force, man. It's crazy. And I don't know if that'll ever happen again, because the one thing that I know is real, and I respect everybody's opinion, they're not joking. There are people that are so infuriated about colors, and it just irritated me. How could you not get a color scheme right?
Yeah.
But the fact that they're going back, and wait till they go back old school. You haven't even seen the ripple. It's like a tsunami. When they get back in that championship gear, it's going to be a tsunami. It's going to be, I'm giddy over the fact that 8-9 is going in the ring, because 8-9, Santana Moss,
yep.
He just represents, he's just a good dude. And he does what he says he's going to do. He constantly contributes to the community. He brought a lot of us that went through the drought some of our greatest moments.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and how do you show him the appreciation for that? Because we were in a drought, and then he hit the bell.
Well, I'll never forget that Monday night Dallas game.
Never forget that.
No, I know exactly where I was. I'll never forget the whole thing. Yeah,
couch. Yeah. In the cave, thinking, what am I going to say to Goldsboro Clarence, who missed, Cowboy Clay? And because we end up here, okay, what am I going to say to that obnoxious Cowboy fan that drives us nuts? and you starting to get your speech together. And then all of a sudden, man, 8-9. And I screamed on that. And I just thought, life is good. We got our guy. And now we got to show him the love he deserves. And I hope that those in conflict right now with the regime put it on the back burner and show him some love. The break we go on that, 12:30 here in the nation's capital. Holidays in the air. You know it's special. You know it's different. And, tomorrow we'll gig it up again, and we'll keep the lights on as the privilege get to sleep in.
I'm not sleeping in tomorrow.
Oh, no, not either. No, we'll be right here chopping wood.
I'm working with Toby before that.
Oh,
we're doing
right.
The junkie shift tomorrow morning.
Right, outside the youngest in charge.
Yeah.
And that is, you're filling in for the Beatles. One dude. No, really, just think about it. 5-1. That's a major operation. Well, they got
seven people on that show.
Yeah, it's a major operation.
I like working with the junkies, though, but it's fun working with Toby, too. So.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a good vibe. It's and with college going on right now, Toby's going to lose his mind.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you want to be. I mean,
I think he's working with the Terps again this year, too.
I think Tech. I thought he was.
Yeah, it's Tech. Yeah, that's what I'm sorry, not Terps. Virginia Tech. I think he was telling me he was interviewing Jalen Lane.
Probably
sometime this week. He may have already done it. I don't know. I know he was going to. So we'll probably be playing some of that tomorrow morning, too.
Yeah, and that's good stuff. It's like Denton Day, who is just dominant with what he's doing and his college football work. And he's, again, you can't expect to sleep during this time of the year. And you don't because you got so much going on, these game after game after game. And now with these new apps, the ESPN, there's so many ways. There's no excuse. How do you miss something now? Because everything's on your phone. I mean, literally now. I mean, it's hard to imagine. I think back in the Stone Ages when there wasn't even fax back. You know what I mean? I mean, that's how everything goes in trends of technology and how you're trying to, you know, read your rosters, get information. And now, man, instantaneous. It's just beam. It is there. If you don't know now, just ask somebody. Because how can you not? You're just plain out lazy if you don't know.
Well, I feel most of us, too, have our little, our sports friends text chats, you know, groups of friends where you kind of, whenever there's a big game on, you're all texting each other out of the blue, out of it, you know, just like, because we know we're all watching it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's a, and that that is going, that develops this offset of, when we first got into the sports bar business, you know, gathering around at a particular place with TVs.
I still like that, too.
Oh, you know what? I don't know if that'll ever lose its intimacy. I just don't think it'll ever be out of style.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things you just...
at the right place with the right apps and right TV and right tubes. Oh, yeah. And a good vibe, that is hard to beat.
Yeah, I remember the one I'll never forget at a sports bar was seeing George Mason beat UConn to go to the Final Four sports bar, like, across the street from George Mason, and everyone was just losing it. It was so cool, man.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, you can't, I don't know. That's, you never get that at home, you never get that on your phone.
I experienced that. And then the Caps run early on. When the Capitals are on fire and you're at the right spot, it's crazy because the patience it takes to have a goal scored.
Well, I saw them when I was at the Big Hunt, which is now gone, but it was a bar right by, you know, in Chinatown right there by the arena the night they won the championship. And I remember walking out of that bar and people were dancing on top of fire trucks.
Crazy.
And it was just nuts, man.
It's certain sports. They translate well with the sports bar atmosphere. Haven't been in the business for 10 years. It's when you watch people celebrate, I'll never forget, we were at the scoreboard, and Gibbs had taken a team he just threw together during the scab period and going down to beat the Cowboys. And ABC had come in and set up cameras. And
are you talking about that's the year Doug Williams won the Super Bowl, right?
No, I don't think that was during the strike. It was maybe they came back.
Yeah, that was the year. Yeah.
But in that deal that went in Dallas, of all coaches' victories, I guarantee you that's one of those ones he cherishes. I mean, that was amazing.
Because
Dallas had some of their stars.
Yeah.
That
they were playing. It was like the Miracle on Ice almost or something, you know?
Yeah,
like,
there you go. It was that. I mean, it was overwhelming. It's just amazing how those memories, you think about those games and what it brought. It was really cool. And now we're at the beginning of this. And where it's going to end up, hey, man, who knows? But I just want to be in the mix. It's like it's almost a sin to not have a team in your market be contesting for a championship. We can slide our attention all the way, but to be none, that's brutal.
Yeah, especially when we have all four major sports teams. So I hear you.
I mean, that's brutal. Although there's still residuals from last year's burgundy and gold. I still, when I say it, I go, yeah, they won the championship game. I say it, but I go, man, they were in the championship. Like, you know, I'm still adjusting to that. They really were. They were in Detroit playing the Lions. Now, granted, the Lions were not at full strength.
They still only had, two losses all season, three, something.
That's
like
what
that.
I said. They never use it as an excuse. I love the way they approach football. But facts are facts.
Sure.
When you don't have – and what is the most devastating loss other than a quarterback is a guy that's a freak on the edge.
Yeah, they lost their Hutchinson.
Hutch. You know, and so it's not a sin not to have –
He's back this year, though.
Yeah, he's back. He's back with a vengeance. But I'm just – look, I try to always make it very clear – that this is pro ball. You got 32 teams, but you don't have 32 good quarterbacks.
No.
You may have 12. And that mystery is never solved. No matter how NIL, quarterback camps, schools, 12. And that's a stretch. That's a stretch. It'd be like MLB. You know, everybody kind of has a closer. Or has an ace.
Yeah.
Think about it. 32, you may have 12. Look how many recycles jobs are going on now. And we're actually discussing it is if we think it can work. Russell Wilson and my boy, the comedian up in New York.
You got Aaron Rodgers still playing. And if there were that many good quarterbacks, he wouldn't still have a job, you know?
But look how many of them do.
Yeah.
And so when you look at, this is a thing that I go, you got to be kidding me. We're almost 65 players and you can't get but 12 that you fight over? And I might be lenient saying 12 that you can go and almost guarantee you can win a game with them. And so for JD5 to pop into the league right out the womb and be considered an MVP of the league, come on. And to hit that, and then to have Dak Prescott at $60 million a season. And they have been basically, in terms of prime time, other than their owner, they're not a factor. And factor.
They did beat us last year.
That's a sin that I would have preferred you not bring
up. Yeah, it's ugly, but I want revenge. I want payback.
They're always tricky good.
I want payback, and I want it with Dak out on the field both times this season.
I do too.
Both times. That's what I'm saying. I want none of this. Our quarterback was injured. No.
But $60 million. And then this last little calamity, which they don't look at it as being bad, but we'll come back and talk a little bit about Jera and Parsons. Stay with us. I think I may have asked you a question earlier. Have you been to Blacksburg for a game?
No, not
so
for
you haven't heard of Sandman.
Not today, but you've asked me
before.
I've asked you before,
okay.
Yeah,
I think you'd fit right in. I mean, Sandman, it is one of the more electric moments in sports. It's like the thing that separates college from the NFL is that when people have something, whether the cow, the bull, the horse, comes out, the things that, whether it's the Trojans or the Seminoles, everybody has that thing that they do. But the Muskets of West Virginia.
I did visit the campus a few times. I had some friends after high school that went to Tech, and so I visited them down there a few times. And I did go to Tech. Like, I didn't attend Tech.
Yeah.
I went to George Mason, but I did... You know, visit some friends down there for weekends a couple times and stuff like that.
Like a whiteout at Penn State. I mean, the whiteout is, it doesn't seem like it's that complicated, but they're awesome at it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's one of those things that.
Well, them in Miami Heat, right? They do that too, right?
Yeah, the whiteout. I look forward to it. It's.
I never wear white. That's the thing. I couldn't do that thing.
Yeah. Well, you could.
I'm metalhead. I'm always in black, man.
Yeah, you are.
I don't even own a white shirt.
I know. But, you know, and that used to just be reserved for like the old Texas, Oklahoma area of tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, that's really, I mean, hey, man, up at, they throw apples up at Pullman. If you're in Washington State. Everybody has a little something, and that's what spices up. That's why college over the pros. I mean, who has something in the pros that even makes you feel that way about it other than the terrible towel?
Well, I got to say, the Detroit Red Wings got that octopus.
That octopus.
That thing's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is.
I know down in Florida they try to do it with the rats. Not as cool. Not the same.
Yeah.
The Detroit with the octopus is cool.
Yeah, the Red Wings. It's a... really taken. I found out the hard way. They really, in Detroit, really Detroit. I mean, with the Tigers, when they're good at something, it resonates. I mean, there hasn't been a really, the Bad Boys era, whatever, that was powerful. It may not be long term, but it was juiced up, dude. I mean, I was there for that. Amazing. The Tigers, pretty soon you think they don't win a game. All of a sudden, they're back. And there's something about Detroit that when they're good, and the Lions were bad so long, but the Red Wings have been hot. They were hot. And then that rivalry with the college deal, we take it for granted, but we want to be a part of it. Don't you? You want to be a part of something like that that people associate you with. I mean, I do. I really do.
Oh, for sure.
And so that's why JD5 is so important. This whole thing, it always comes back to the Commanders.
I'm excited to see this season. You know, I feel like the Hail Mary was kind of his signature play last year. And that was cool, you know, but I want to see what he's going to do for, like, wild highlights this year. What's going to be his big play that everyone's talking about this season?
See, to me, it's him dropping that dime over Terry's shoulder.
Yeah.
To me, it's his ability.
Sure.
To throw a dime through a keyhole.
Oh, I know.
To score.
And the way he just kind of skips over defenders sometimes. Like, there's a lot of those. But, they, you know, these star players, they tend to have these, like, signature kind of moments. You just remember, like, certain play. And that Hail Mary is going to stay with him his career. You know, people are going to remember that his whole career. That's the play that introduced Jaden Daniels to the NFL. You know, like, we saw him a few games here. That's the one that put him on the national map for just every NFL fan now
knew who he was. I'm going to disagree with you and open it up to our fan base. Because him dropping them dimes, and he dropped that one in Terry, man, he has thrown some bombs down the chimney pipe.
Oh, yeah.
To score. I mean, his running, you said it best. When he pops in and out, I'm watching some LSU footage of him last night. This dude is a prolific runner. He shakes you out of your jock. And the Hail Mary is like, that's more fortune, or you could say luck. He's dropped some balls down the chimney with skill. He's a skillful deep thrower. He's a skillful runner. This dude's got some freakish attributes.
And I think the thing that we cannot overlook is his ability to read defenses so well, so quickly.
Yeah. I mean, here you see it for the first time. Go back and watch LSU. He did the exact same things.
Oh, yeah.
This ain't new to him. No, man, he's gifted. But that pipe down, the Terry, the bombs, the score, he's dropped it right down a chimney, man. That Hail Mary, it's a tip. It comes out. He got the distance, but we knew he could do that.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying the Hail Mary was his best pass. I'm saying that was an iconic play, though. That was an iconic play.
Wasn't his best to me.
No, certainly not his best pass, but it was an iconic play.
Oh, no doubt about it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, every Hail Mary has that. But he's hit some things to 86. his tight end, his relationship with his tight end is so amazing to me. And the chemistry these two guys have in short space, to me, is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So you can talk yourself into anything with J.D. 5, and you're not stretching. We've mentioned four or five different things. You're not stretching, you know. It's been good, though. Team 980, it's been a blast, but we move on.